I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bellies away, it's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely to have you. Don't worry, James or Jim may not be here, but the other two are. Luke Moore.
All right.
Pete Donaldson.
I'm back.
Whee!
I was never away, but I mean, last week I was with Jim, and now I came back.
Oh, yeah, you went to Edinburgh with him.
I had a swift coffee with him.
Yeah. Was he all right?
He was on good form. He was covered in cold sauce, but he was on good form. Smiling through the cold sores.
There's your exclusive listeners. Cold sores on cold sore Campbell.
I just don't know where to go from here.
No.
So I'll probably start it. Yeah. Imagine. Welcome to the Football Ramble. What a show we've got for you today.
Well, let's not oversell ourselves.
You know, coming up in today's Ramble, we've got the start of the Premier League and all sorts of other things. But before we do that, I've got a question for you. It is the start of the season. But, chaps, which team do you remember that started from any league, well, professional, in any year? Which team do you remember started the season superbly and just kind of fizzled out, whether that be, you know, a month before Christmas, around Christmas, latter half of the season? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Go on.
I'll go for, and you can chip in with a few facts here, Marcus.
I shall.
Well, you don't know yet. Hang on a minute.
I'm going on assumption.
Yeah. I'll go for the Real Madrid team of 2003-2004.
Straight to the top.
Sweet. I get Hull then, yeah?
Yeah. And Real Madrid started off like a bullet out of
this
a gun.
This was Beckham's first season.
It was. And Ronaldo still finished top scorer that season, even though they eventually came fourth. And
No, they came second.
No, Valencia won the title, didn't they?
Valencia
won the title.
No, I think Barca did they not?
You got your league placings wrong and then you came in with some Spanish. Nice, yeah, like it.
No, 2003-2004 season, Valencia won the title. Right. Real Madrid came fourth.
Are you sure it was
fourth? Barcelona came second. And I can't remember who comes there, but Real Madrid definitely came fourth. Ronaldo was top scorer. And they had some... the reason I'm saying this is because they had some absolutely abysmal results in the second half of the season. They lost to Osasuna at home, like 3-0 or something. Yeah. And they also lost to Real Sociedad, like 4-1 at home as well. So I'll go for Real Madrid, 2003-2004, Beckham's first season.
Beckham said that... because they were top at around Christmas... and he said it was the best football he's ever been involved with.
That's something.
It was the Galacticos, wasn't it? It was Dan and Figo and all the boys. But they were playing so well that none of them took a break. They just kept on playing and playing the same team and like hardly ever subbing anybody off, you know, because it was kind of like, who do you sub off?
Yeah.
Raul, Ronaldo, Beckham, Zidane, Figo. You've got to keep them all on.
Yeah.
And they just got so tired and it just kind of fizzled out.
So a good one then.
A very good
Thank you very much.
It works.
Bit disappointed you doubted me on it, but fair enough.
I can only apologise.
That's no problem.
On behalf of the whole of the Speller clan.
That'll do.
Pete, what have you got for us?
Well, I'm not going to go for Newcastle United 95-96. I'm not going to do it.
No.
I'm going to go for Hull seasons ago.
Their first season in the
thing. The thing with things like that is that when you reach so high and you do something so magnificent, it's like when a ferry starts to take on water and then eventually sort of go down. It's kind of a bit it's too big to go down. The achievement of floating on water is too too big.
I thought you were going to say that there's no reversing it. you can see it happening, but there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, you can pump. You can start pumping more. I'm sure there's fail safes in a ferry.
As we saw last year, Hull aren't too big to go down.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you see Phil Brown on Goals on Sunday? He was wearing a shirt. He was wearing a shirt that I can only describe as looking like it was a charcoal drawing by a blind man.
You got me to turn on the television and load up Sky Player, and which I duly did. And yes, it was definitely worth typing in my login details. And it looked like a drawing of some tinfoil, with pencil.
A mid 90s Premier League third goalkeeper top.
Yeah, a 94 goalkeeper's top designed by Georgi Campos. Is what I look like.
But I think more than anything else, I think the first season that Phil Brown was up and sort of lauding it. He wasn't particularly lauding it until they just managed to escape relegation. Then he started suddenly becoming very arrogant about it.
Have you noticed that his clothes really reflect his mood? He's out of work at the moment, so he's wearing a very odd, almost sort of like sort of absurdist like shirt.
It's like that Aha video when it was the pencil world.
It's exactly like that. But when he was flying high manager of Hull and loving it and thinking he was the dog's back wheels, he was wearing a nice shirt with a salmon pink sweater thrown over his shoulders. <wasn't he? laughs> So if you want to know what's happening in the mind of Phil Brown, just look at his clothes.
Check his clothes. He's like a chameleon, one of those fish that flob around your hand.
Absolutely like that.
The flob around
the plastic fish that you get. So if you're horny, you could flob around with it.
I bet he likes those t-shirts. Remember those t-shirts?
Global Hypercolour.
Yeah.
Yep.
How did you know I was going to say straight away. That?
This is not retro review. Come on. It could be retro review.
Retro ramble. Good one, Pete.
Thanks.
Another good one there. Hmm. Do you know what I'm going to go for?
Go on.
Hoffenheim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, backed by a wealthy owner.
That's
flying
right.
High after promotion.
That's right.
And sort of faded into obscurity.
I know. They were top going into Christmas. I can't remember if they were top or joint top. At Christmas. It was absolutely remarkable run, because they have the Christmas break, of course, in Germany. And I just remember seeing the players. They drew 1-1 at home with one of the other big teams who are up there. Forgive me, my memory failed me.
Yeah.
But I just remember seeing...
Oh, it didn't when he was doing the Real Madrid stuff, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it did.
Oh, it did.
It did. I've not had a good start. I'm the opposite of one of these teams.
Yeah, you better pick up your game, mate.
But don't know, I pace myself.
Yeah.
And pick at the right time, Peter.
Please continue.
Can I?
Yes.
And Hoffenheim, that's what we've got. Points to Luke Moore.
Thank you very much. Hey! Let's put this behind us.
It needed to... Premier League, that's underway, footballly, and that's about it for this. A new match of the day intro.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
What the hell is all that about?
Yeah. Pete's already done his own interpretation of it.
Yeah, I think I did a better job.
I say interpretation, you've added your own bits to it.
Yeah, John Beresford, Lindsay.
For those who haven't seen it, it's quite odd. It's a mishmash of yesteryear and...
Now's a year, and this a year.
And has it got a bit of tomorrow year in it as well? Players from the future.
Come on.
No, it hasn't.
That'd be ridiculous.
A waste of your licence fee.
Yeah, it's the theme tune, and it's the matches are...
I'll tell you what it's like.
I'm struggling.
I'll tell you what it's like. It's like that Ryan Giggs Reebok advert of 20 years ago, 15 years ago, but that was good.
No, but that was good, yeah. It's rubbish theme.
I mean, they must have spent hours and hours. I mean, somebody would have come up with the idea, and then it would have gone to the After Effects men, and they'd be like, well, I can't use this footage because it's too grainy, it's going to look crap, and just do it, in the words
it
of Nike.
It does look
Nike.
Rubbish, though, doesn't it?
It doesn't look the best.
Get on our Facebook group, because Pete's, is it up there, the video?
It's on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/footballramble,
very nice.
Didn't know we had that, did
you? I'll stick it on Ramble too.
We didn't design that part of the show just to advertise Pete's video, but it sort of came across that way.
Yeah.
No, but it wasn't the best, but you know, let's not be too negative.
With the new intro thing behind us, let's get on with the football.
Yeah.
Spurs 0, Man City 0 was the first game of the Premier League season.
Goose eggs. As they say in America,
they do. Yeah,
yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? How in the recent England, we'll come on to England and all sorts of other bits and pieces. With so many English goalkeeper's not playing well of late. Thank goodness for Joe Hart.
Yeah.
He was some of those saves he pulled off. Incredible.
There was one specifically with that swivel sort of volley.
Defoe.
Yeah, that was unbelievable, that. Incredible save.
He looks the part.
He does.
Joe Hart. I kind of thought to myself, I'll put myself into a corner there. He really does, though, look. You look at him and you think, I'm confident that you've got a safe pair of hands.
Yeah, well, he looks confident. The way he kicks, he's got a really unorthodox kicking, I think. He sort of takes it sort of almost shoulder height.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
It's a weird sort of fancy kick. But he looks... I said it before the World Cup, you know what I mean? He looks like the finished article.
Yeah, that's
already, anybody
yeah.
says that... The 24-year-old
23, I think 23? He is, yeah. Certainly no older than 24.
Yeah. But I designed, with Shea Given not getting his place, I had a think and I came up with the title. Nobody put Shaby in the corner.
Yeah.
So he'd be off.
Good, yeah. That means he's leaving. That would only have worked if he had been caught sort of dancing erotically with someone that wasn't his wife the night before or something.
Right, okay, yeah.
But yeah, it was funny.
Nobody put Shaby in the corner.
Yeah, he did that.
On the bench.
That's confusing as well because it's like a corner of a football pitch.
Yeah, it is. I didn't think this through today.
Something that makes me laugh is
don't worry, the mics are turned off.
Is seeing the footage of Shay Given leaning over to someone after the third.
No,
he leaned over and he said, he taps on the shoulder, I forget who it was, he turned around and he went, yeah, I don't think I'll be playing next week either.
Yeah, he did.
Which was nice. A nice little touch, I thought. But I thought Man City were a little bit disappointing. A couple of their players looked a yard short.
Well, it's hardly surprising that they didn't set the world on fire, because they've got so many players, you know,
don't know each other.
Exactly.
Even training must be confusing.
Yeah, to be honest, I actually, in hindsight, I don't think a point away at White Hart Lane first game of the season is that bad a result for
them.
No, it's not.
You know, it shouldn't have been a point, should it, is what I'm saying.
No, very true. Very true. They have signed Balotelli, though.
Super Mario.
And Bellamy's off as well.
Yeah.
Bellamy's been, as a lot of the newspapers have put it, blacklisted by Manchester City.
He's been banned from the training ground.
But the fact, I love it how it says blacklisted. It's sort of denounced that the FBI have got hold of
this,
or something.
Yeah, you can imagine this happening. Right, so you're not in the 25-man squad, so you won't be playing at all until at least January. Right, can I still train? Prefer it if you didn't. You're not as train on.
Well, he's, I mean, he did something quite uncharacteristic, like he spoke out of turn recently, and... He said, didn't he, that he hasn't spoken to Mancini since February or March. Communications with him are completely
He had a decent season last season. He's a good player.
He was their top assist maker last season, but I also heard that Mancini saw him after the defeat, which made it...
Means
they didn't qualify for the Champions League, and Spurs did. He apparently saw him high-fiving Harry Redknapp.
As he walked off the pitch.
Yeah, which he said was inappropriate.
What that would have been is, Redknapp would have probably been stood by the tunnel, like a lot of managers do, and they just sort of shake hands and whatnot, the players as they go off the pitch. And that's all that would have been.
Wasn't he also reported to be shouting something?
Oh, was he as well?
While Mancini was doing a...
I love Redknapp more than you.
I also read that Man City are straight refusing to do any business with Spurs on players. Because apparently...
Of course, they don't want to sell him to the rivals.
Well, Redknapp's inquired about Michael Richards, Julian Lescott and Craig Bellamy. Yeah. And they've been flat turned down, flat refused.
It really does something.
I don't know how true that is.
It really does speak volumes when you're talking about the transfer of a player and you're sort of siding with Redknapp, doesn't it?
but I think Man City are well within their rights to do business with whoever they want to or not want to.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like the way English clubs do that. That is the reason, or one of the reasons why, the English players have such ridiculous price tags. You know, James Miller's over twice as much as the reported sum of money for Ozil.
Yeah, but that's to do with contracts as well, isn't it? Ozil's last year was contract and stuff.
True, but...
I know what you mean, though.
But, yeah. I mean, for example, when Chelsea... they wanted to sign Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank from Leeds. And Leeds refused. And Chelsea said they sold him to Atletico Madrid, and then he had a good season there. He was brilliant. I think he was top scorer or one of the top scorers in the league, and Atletico Madrid relegated. And then Chelsea had to buy him from there. So he had to go to Spain for a season or two, or however long it was. I mean, I don't understand why
that's
English
how you
club...
get cheap long haul flights.
Well, that's true.
But Man City obviously don't.
He got a bit of sun.
They don't want to give Spurs a leg up, which is fair enough in a way. I see it from both sides, is what I'm saying. But Bellamy looks like he might rock up at Cardiff. He'll rip that league to pieces.
Yeah, he will.
You forget how old he is.
Poppy have got to play them twice.
For me, a player like that is an absolute league changer.
He's a good player.
Surely Fulham will go in for him. Surely. And by the time this comes out, he could have... I don't know. He could have.
When he's going to find himself a club somewhere.
He said about McLaren's Wolfsburg. They had a little inquiry, apparently.
They had a little tickle, did they? A little snifter.
Why not? You know. Yeah. Neil Lennon wants him at Celtic.
Yeah. Oh, he'd be brilliant in the SPL. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Well, he's already played there, of course.
Yeah. He's still
massively quick as well. Don't they want him on loan for 6 months or something? They can't really afford anyone.
Yeah, well, that is the trouble. Balotelli, reportedly sort of 180 grand a week or something. Outrageous.
And he said, as soon as he saw him, he said, yeah, I'd prefer to stay in Italy, to be honest.
He did, didn't he? He said he was really upset, and I thought to myself, well, had you have not acted such an arse, then maybe you might still
I
be
like
there.
His lovely little sort of designs he's got on his head.
Yeah. He's a big old unit, Balotelli.
But did you say, like, I don't think it was a press commentary, it was just like a photo opportunity. He was walking through all, like, the Manchester City fans. Yeah. He was massive. He was just sort of had, like, a leather jacket on and the sort of scarf sort of almost painted on him. Yeah. He didn't look right.
He's 6'3". You think of him as being a little bit like a nippy, quick striker, but he's absolutely massive, and he can play anywhere up front as well. And by the way, one thing that's never mentioned about Balotelli is he takes a brilliant free kick as well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So rotating between the front players they've got at Man City, that's absolutely breathtaking. But if they can all click, that'd be amazing.
It's been said a load of times before, the amount of egos. That, I mean, he is going to be in the same city as Emmanuel Adebayor.
Yeah. You know. Well, that's why Bellamy's gone. You literally cannot come back into this city because we've got Super Mario Balotelli now. And you know they say this town ain't big enough for the both of you. It's literally true.
It's like some scientific experiment putting a lot of chemicals in the water.
Yeah. See how long it takes to explode.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think... Actually, I better caveat this by saying I don't think they will get the best out of Balotelli. I think he's still very young. He's only just 20. Mm. It's a complete culture change for him. He's not got on well. The only thing really working in his favour is the fact that Mancini's at City and Mancini brought him through Inter. So that may work out. But other than that, it's going to be difficult. But if they can get him firing, I genuinely believe he's the best. Well, he's not a teenager anymore, but a week ago he was the best teenager in the world, without a shadow of a doubt, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
High praise indeed, Pete. Let's take it back down to a little bit more of a realistic level. The Wigan 0, Blackpool 4.
Unbelievable.
Wigan
were brilliant game.
Awful.
Wigan was shocking.
Blackpool had a goal disallowed, a perfectly good goal disallowed.
It was meant to be at Blackpool, wasn't it?
Could Wigan be one of the worst teams ever this season? points-wise, could they be? I'm asking. Their back four is absolutely abysmal.
Isn't Zogbia going to leave? Because he wants away, doesn't he?
He wants away, but Bramble's left.
And where Bramble's leaving? Bramble.
If he can find a better club.
Hang on a minute, Bramble thinks he's too good for us. No, Bramble, to be fair, he's all right.
It'd be interesting to see what Victor Moses does, because he's an exciting young talent. It'd be a shame if he was...
But he can't keep him in the league on his own.
No, of course.
You know. And the last thing they need... So basically, we're going to go down... If one of the promoted teams does a little bit better than expected,
well,
this could
it's
happen.
Only. I know it doesn't bode
Blackpool
well, but
being
it is,
one of them. yeah, already.
It is the first game of the season, though. And Chris Kirkland with a couple of terrible errors.
Yeah, shocking. Absolutely. But let's just, like you say, Marcus, it is only the first day of the season.
Yeah, so let's not get carried away.
Blackpool aren't going to win 4-0 away every week. Well, they can't play away every week, so they won't. But you know what I mean?
It was great. Ian Holloway's press conference.
Very calm.
I think. Yeah, well, very calm, very reserved, very not mental, like he usually is.
I think he's very aware of himself.
Yeah.
We were talking about this on the way up here. Marcus and I were saying that I think he's making a conscious effort to actually tone that down now.
To try and be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And I really hope he throws that to one side.
Yeah, so what a bit of entertainment, don't we?
I want Ian Holloway corner. That's what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Ian Holloway house, it will be.
Marlon Harewood. He had a lovely time, didn't he?
Marlon, yeah.
He didn't do that last season for Newcastle, did he?
Yeah. Couple of goals and one assist. Brilliant start to the season for him. Top scorer?
It's only going to go down from here.
Oh dear.
A big fella.
He's got his head is almost invisible.
His head's almost invisible.
It's like someone's someone said to me the other day. It's like someone's painted a face on a neck.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You like go up from his look from sort of chest height. You keep going up and up and up. Oh, your head started already.
Yeah. It's finished.
Why is your mouth there?
He's got one of those heads where you sort of, when you wash your face, where do you finish?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And also, can you imagine him for 1 second with any sort of hair whatsoever?
No, no.
I don't think he's ever grown hair. I just, it, hair would not suit his head.
Hair would grow on his head.
Oi!
Shavey in the corner.
Wrote itself.
Better than the Shea Given one.
Do you know something? It was wonderful to see them on top of the league,
yeah,
for a short while, and then the big boy bullies came along.
Chelsea. Big boy bullies.
Well, there was talk that some people put a bet. I mean, Paddy Power would run a bet where you could bet that Blackpool would never be top of the league at any stage this season, and they were for an hour and a half, so they paid out on that.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, because obviously Chelsea kicked off later, didn't they?
Well, they did. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, Chelsea just battered West Brom after the first goal. I got a little bit bored.
It does look. It was like one of those games at school where. Like the younger lads would take on the older lads, and the older lads just crush them. Yeah. And if you're watching it, you just think, oh,
they don't even bother showboating.
I know.
It's a pain in the ass.
I just like after the fourth, can't they just sort of say, right, let's all try and score a volley or sort of, you know? Like,
yeah, let's try and score a goal from the keeper without it touching the ground. Ref, it doesn't count otherwise. All right, yeah, right, fire, all right, yeah, no worries.
Is it indirect free kick?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, also just quickly before you move on too far, it's good to see Mark Halsey back refereeing.
Oh yes.
After his cancer and stuff, and I was disappointed because that disallowed goal, it was a linesman's fault.
Yeah.
It's about 5 yards onside.
Yeah.
Well, the player was in an offside position. You can see why he gave
the other player off,
because there was another player.
What was wrong with West Brom's walls?
That was odd, wasn't it? Yeah.
Is that a new tactic?
But again, you know,
just put an extra man in there if you're going to make a big goal.
Yeah. It's when the first goal went in, obviously Scott Carson kind of sort of dropped it quite nicely at the feet of one of the Chelsea players, but it's such a shame that where, you know, Di Matteo must think, right, this is what we're going to do, and for crying out loud, you're playing against a big side away from home, they can't score early, we have to frustrate them.
Yeah.
And then you gift them a goal, and it's the noise of the crowd, it's not it's a
yeah,
there it is, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And you just think, oh, and your heart sinks in, like, yeah. Oh, well done to Chelsea. They look good. Great hat-trick from Drogba. Yeah. No, you can't be too one-sided.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I touted Chelsea for the league and Drogba's top scorer. So.
No, they do look incredibly strong.
Their last goal was particularly good, wasn't it?
It was. Oh, yeah, it was.
They off the post.
They really do look strong. Well, they were already.
They've had a poor pre-season, but it just goes to show, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah, they've sold Ricardo Carvalho.
6.2 million. 6.5 million, yeah.
6.7, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay, right.
He's 32, signed on a 2-year deal. I think it's a good signing for Real.
I do as well.
Very good.
Chelsea obviously are going to rely on Alex to sit in beside Terry, I would imagine. I know
Ivanovic can
also play there as well.
Well, I think Cavallo makes Terry twice as good. So
well,
it'll
a lot
be
of people say that,
how it works out. But I mean, Cavallo, to be fair, I mean, was it a season or two ago? He had quite a bad injury. He was out for a long time and they still did all right. So
yeah.
Who knows? But it's a good sign. I mean, he's 32, isn't he, Cavallo?
That's right.
So Mourinho obviously wants a bit of stability around.
But he's not a particularly pacey defender. He doesn't lack pace or anything like that.
He's quicker than Terry.
Yeah, no, aren't we all?
I'm literally not.
I reckon you're about the same. But he's a bit like Carvalho's, that kind of, with regards to pace and sort of finesse, it's a bit like Laurent Blanc, you know, you could imagine him playing a few years. You know?
To a bit of an older age, yeah, perhaps.
He's really not a bit more money. I'd expect up to the 12s for me.
A 32-year-old?
Well, Drogba's 31.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? He hasn't got anything, though.
I know, but like, he wouldn't be going for like 10 million, 12 million, would he? Drogba would be going for millions more.
Well,
who knows?
Oh, Marcus wouldn't buy him.
I don't have the cash.
No.
But Aston Villa beat West Ham 3-0. Managerless Aston Villa.
Didn't James Milner acquit himself well?
He did.
Yeah, he played very well.
Mark Albrighton.
Yeah, he played really well for the under-21s.
A touch of the Martin Palermo's about.
Yeah, he looks a bit like a young Martin Palermo, yeah.
So get him in the England.
But he played well for the under-21s, Albrighton. He caught my arm and I saw him.
Caps there. Yeah, he had a great afternoon, didn't he?
His job was just get the touchline.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Wolves beat Stoke 2-1.
They did.
David Jones. Lovely free kick, Letizia-esque.
Yeah. It was, and
I love seeing that. That makes me so happy.
He's done that before, old David Jones.
Well, he's had a go, he never scored, of course. Yeah. Stephen Fletcher scored in his Prem debut.
Wasn't his Prem debut, he played for Burnley.
You haven't heard that?
You didn't let me finish.
Forgive me, I'm out of order there.
Prem debut this season.
Yeah.
For Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Do you know what, in your notes you sent, I even crossed out the word Prem in my notes.
Did you?
I have to put a question mark at the end of it.
And you also wrote Malem Harewood.
You did actually on your notes, Marlem, not boom. Marlon.
Yeah, I put these in to test you.
Well, we appreciate it.
I didn't
just
even
like
send
Jesus
you notes.
And the dinosaurs. Mm. Yeah,
there you go, Pete. That's good. Fair point. Well made. Fulham drew 0-0 away.
Yeah, move on.
No,
that was one of the worst games I've seen.
David Stockdale, very good.
No, he played well. He did play well. Yeah.
So shut your big hairy face.
What's happening with Schwarzer? Because
well, it looks as though.
But Givens apparently is way too Arsenal.
There's
that's
a lot of goalkeepers moving around. I'm worried.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as we've still got our goalkeeper for the Ramble.
It's like Italy in the 90s.
Big Pav.
Yeah, Big Pav. He'll still be
Pav. Yeah. Oh,
and
all right, we're going to move on to Liverpool and Arsenal.
Good, I've got a brilliant thing to say about
I saw that in your eyes. I thought,
oh, I'm glad you mentioned this, Matt.
I'm going to go around the houses.
No, please, let me tell you this. Does anyone, do any of you boys, you're not on Twitter, but do you follow Andre Arshavin on Twitter?
I think I do, yes, but I might
he
have missed
it. He came up with the greatest tweet ever today. I think it is him.
Mean, he's mad, isn't he?
Listen to this for his tweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit down for this, because I haven't heard this, but he's got that look in his eye.
Listen to this from Arshavin today. Today I feel both shame and anger at my performance, but at least I'm not Joe Cole.
Oh, you bitch. You Russian bitch.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
It's just...
Oh, very unnecessary.
Yeah.
At least I'm not at least I'm not the good player he destroyed. Was it a sending off, Marcus?
No. Booking for me, that.
Nah.
I looked at it again and I think it was a sending off.
I think
2 feet off the ground.
It was pretty rotten.
Yeah.
It was a rotten thing to do.
But I do think the referee was perhaps a little bit hasty. And I don't think that the... Because people have been saying, oh, yeah, you know, Koscielny, he pretended he was injured and then he came out for the second half. Well, I do think he actually was a bit injured.
His ankle went over, didn't it?
And besides that, how injured the player is doesn't depend on how bad the challenge was.
No.
You know, it doesn't matter. If it's a late, reckless, 2 feet off the ground challenge, and on paper, that's a red card.
I think when people say, oh, Joe Cole's not that type of player... Well, I'm afraid that shouldn't really influence the referees.
No.
Or should it?
It's an isolated incident. He's made that challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the challenges that Lee Catamol made.
Yeah.
People having to go at the ref. Steve Bruce having to go at the ref. What's the ref supposed to do?
Yeah.
He goes, well, it's the first half. He's ruined the game. You know, he's only managed 4 Premier League games. You know, we've got to ask questions. Well, he's got to start refereeing in the Premier League some point, Steve. You know, what do you want?
Decisions like these that he'll have to deal with.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Which he copped.
I'd like to say for the record that Steve Bruce isn't in the room.
No. Can you imagine the players sitting around and Steve Bruce saying to them, well, the referee's only refereeing his 4th Premier League game, so I think we all know we can get away with whatever we want. Because he can't send players off because he's only refereed 4 games. It's ridiculous.
Well.
Take a look at your own player, Bruce. 2 challenges, both bookings, doesn't matter what half they're in, it's a sending off.
Yeah.
But why? No. Handled it with decorum and dignity.
As always.
It was a good comeback from Birmingham, actually, just harking back to Steve Bruce and Sunderland.
Mm.
Pepe Reina.
Yeah.
Arsenal fans would have enjoyed that, because obviously Pepe Reina was one of the ones who put the Barcelona shirt on Cesc Fabregas.
He was. He doesn't even play for Barcelona.
He did say sorry by scoring a goal for Arsenal.
Yeah, maybe he was trying to put it onto another player, but it accidentally fell on Fabregas. Yeah, I'm trying to use the thing.
Yeah,
the ball going in the net off the post.
But
you can sort of excuse the first mistake, because it was bright sunshine straight in his eyes. But the second one was
great.
Comedy. It was a glull.
That was a glull.
Yeah.
Good point.
He's not a massive messer-upper usually.
Manchester United versus Newcastle United hasn't been played yet at the time of recording. But Manchester United have signed Bebe. Incredible story there.
Yeah.
A lot of you may have heard. It's from Portugal. He was Carlos Queiroz recommended him. Ferguson described him as an impulse buy.
£7.5 million?
Yeah, which sort of...
Glazers are like, yeah, cheers.
Yeah.
I will have that paprika.
You're an impulse buyer on eBay.
I thought you were going to say I'm an ex-homeless footballer.
Yeah. Well, he did. He played in the Homeless World Cup.
Yeah, Pete once bought a pair of LCD screen glasses in an airport for $200.
When I was drunk. Let's not forget, I was drunk. From
Alex Ferguson was almost certainly drunk.
Well, I think he could well be a player.
Do you know what? It's one of those things. I was speaking to a couple of the boys...
It's a remarkable story.
Well, Andy Brassel and a couple of guys who know a bit about Portuguese football, and he said, look, there's literally nothing on him. Hardly anyone in Portugal knows anything about this player, you know. So who knows what's going to happen? He might be another Minucho. He might be another Cristiano Ronaldo.
Queiroz recommended him highly. But yeah, absolutely incredible playing in the Homeless World Cup. You would never have been able to predict that.
No.
Unbelievable.
It's almost like a real version of the film Goal, but with better acting.
Not really.
Being that it's in real life.
Well, Goal wasn't home, and he only went to Newcastle.
So. He's practically <Yeah. laughs>
Ryan Giggs says he might fancy management after playing. Just to let you know.
Yeah, thanks.
Football League roundup. You've got to mention Phil Brown's side, old side.
Yeah.
Hull. Hammered 4-0 by Millwall.
Millwall playing some great stuff. The top of the league now, two big wins. I think Millwall, I was thinking about this today, and Millwall have actually playing some good football for maybe. I've seen them play a couple of times over the last 6 months. They've been playing some good stuff. And I think if I was a Millwall fan, I'd be annoyed that that people just. Every time you say you're a Millwall fan, someone just sort of goes, oh shit.
Yeah. That James Henry's pretty good, isn't he? And
Steve Morrison, good player?
Well, yeah, wasn't he playing like. He was playing non league, wasn't he?
Was he? Okay. Yeah. He looks good to me. It's alright.
Warnock's QPR beat his old side, Sheffield United.
I'll stick my neck out and say that Tarat is one of the best players in the division.
There it is.
He's a great player.
In your first division.
There's the nick.
Because QPR battered Sheffield United and then Blackwell got sacked, didn't he?
Yeah.
Two games in, a bit harsh. He's hardly spent a thing, Blackwell. He's done all right.
Looks like Gary Speed's going to take over there.
Yeah.
Pete.
Yeah, they did.
Man close to your heart.
I feel sorry for him because, like, I know they've just been beaten by, like, Harleyville and stuff. I mean, like, I feel sorry for him that he's going to have absolutely no money to spend. And or maybe they just didn't want to give Blackwell's. Any money, I guess.
No, he's got to cut his teeth somewhere, though, Speedy, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Copple's left Bristol City.
Don't fancy it. Hates football.
Yeah.
Steve Copple hates football.
He does.
I don't care what anyone says. Even when Reading got promoted, he barely cracked a smile.
he did make a funny joke once when they were trying to get the New England manager, and he said, it's very nice of people to keep linking me with a job, but they keep spelling my name wrong.
Yeah.
That's quite a good joke.
Yeah.
He prefers comedy.
Capella.
Good one. That's a good joke, Steve. Because if you were given the actual job, you'd probably quit.
What's that? What's wrong with that, man?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you say? I think it's probably got something to do with. Is it Nigella Lawson? Do you remember that story where Nigella Lawson's husband had a dream that she was cheating on him with him,
Steve Copple?
With Steve Copple.
That's a nightmare.
And they had an argument about it or something, and Copple was quite pleased.
I bet he was, yeah,
by his dream sex.
With Nigella Lawson.
Not even his.
No, not even.
Didn't happen in real life.
Not even his or hers. It was Charles Saatchi, the art man.
The art man.
Man.
Pompey nearly got a win.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Patronisation. Thank you very much.
Good point.
1-0 up from 8 minutes in, and I knew for the rest of those 80 minutes, whatever it was, till they conceded, they were going to concede. And when they did concede, it was the worst goal of the season.
Pepe Reina disagrees with
me. This was like from a yard out, and Jamie Ashton got so annoyed about it, he booted one of the players. He literally laid him out in the middle of the penalty area while they were celebrating. The guy went off to celebrate, and Ashton just kicked him. And he fell over.
Glenn Denning was touting you as from Football Weekly as a player. For the future, for Potts.
He needs to check his researchers.
I'd rather have Glenn Denning for one.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. Not for the future.
No, for now. I'm 29. I've got one move left in me.
He's at his peak.
It's not
hurry up and sign
it. It won't be a big money move.
Well, according to Pete, you know, 30-year-olds go for like 12 million, don't they?
Oh, come on now.
But you're my agent. You're supposed to.
Sorry. He's not interested in anything less than 40 grand.
If he's your agent, that's why you're here.
Yeah, that's why I'm playing for you lot.
Yeah, hey. A little bit of respect. Let's just a brief mention of a manager who does love football, and he's gone back to his old club. Andy Hessenthaler has gone back to Gillingham, where he
Chimp-like.
He was
put that out there.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
He was a player manager. And now he's a man. Yeah.
A tiny chimp.
And he couldn't beat Hereford.
That looked like that looked like a decent match, though. It was 0-0, but it was just. The highlights were about 10 minutes long.
It was a pulsating 0-0.
Worth it.
We all love a pulsating 0-0.
Bartlett in goal for Hereford.
Oh.
Ex Newcastle. So,
is he?
Yeah,
influencing the game.
directly.
The
SPL's underway.
Yes.
Who do you fancy for it? I asked Craig Brown and he said everybody.
So I haven't got all day, Craig.
People are talking Celtic, but they might mess it all up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, probably Rangers is your alternative there.
Do you know what? As soon as my... well, you know, Dundee.
Thank you, Craig.
As soon as...
that is my favourite piece of punditry ever.
You know,
when Craig Brown was asked, who do you think? And he named every team. Yeah.
Do you know that? I felt sorry for Neil Lennon, because as soon as O'Neill walked out of Villa, which we haven't talked about, by the way, everyone's going, yeah, get someone back at Celtic. And Lennon was possibly like, hang on a minute, I'm going to start here.
Yeah, it's a show.
Bless him.
Well, yeah, I think the O'Neill stuff's been done to death.
Yes, it probably has, yeah.
Well, unless you want to mention anything.
I don't know
you
why...
You were surprised like the rest of us.
I was, but I sort of... Now I'm surprised by the amount of sort of unmitigated praise for O'Neill, and no one on the other side of the fence, really. It's a bit odd.
Pete, are you on the other side of the fence?
I'm a big fan of O'Neill, but he had a little bit of money every now and again and bought some clodders.
Well, the reports are to be believed. The only thing that Lerner wanted was him to bring the wage bill down to 60% of the turnover, and it was at 85%, and that's too much.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be responsible. And it seems to me that one minute everyone applauds Lerner for trying to run the club properly, not interfering, yeah, not doing a Glazer, not doing a Hicks and Gillette. Mm. And all of a sudden it's like, well, oh, it's O'Neill, you know. I think that, you know, there's two sides to every story. And I think. Yeah. And also, by the way, to walk out 5 days before the season starts,
that's outrageous.
On. Isn't it?
When's he going to Randy Learn, eh?
Good point, yeah. But that said, we will take O'Neill at Pompey. Disrespect, Steve Cottrell. You can be assistant.
Back to Scotland, Aidan McGeady signed for Spartak Moscow. Was it O'Connor?
I think there's several million reasons for that.
Is there right?
Yeah, yeah. He's getting his own personal driver, isn't he?
I was reading a few things. A couple of people out there are a little bit worried that maybe some more Scottish players might go out that way, because they pay a lot more.
They do, yeah. Absolutely. And they're used to the weather.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a problem, is it? Yeah. It really isn't a problem. Let's talk about the recent internationals.
Okay.
It was a little while ago. Well, a week ago now. But it's worth a mention. We haven't talked about it. England versus Hungary.
Mm.
A wonderful win.
Yeah.
Pete, knocked the ball around nicely.
Oh, it did. I mean, pressure's off, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I think it goes to show we've definitely got some of the best players in the world.
We've got 2 years to show that that's not
the
case.
Yeah.
I mean, someone asked me, is emailed in saying, you know, is Luke going to be featuring on the podcast a bit more? And I said that that's probably a bit too old now.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Just but like David Beckham.
As long as you told me behind the scenes. Yeah.
What do you reckon to that, Pedro?
Well, obviously I'm depressed and gutted for the man and his waistcoats, but I mean...
Specifically that item of clothing?
He's not fit at the moment, yeah. So...
No.
He's well fit. I don't know, I just... it would have been nice to see him one last time, but if...
Well,
he was offered it and David said...
No, but
Why would you say no?
It's crazy talk. The thing that annoys me about it, and I know I always say this, oh, I'm annoyed about this and that and the other, but for me, why would the press on Capello's back for giving Beckham apparently loads of needless caps, and then all of a sudden when he's now not being picked anymore, oh, give him his last cap, you're out of order, give him a send-off worthy of the great man. It's like, well, make your minds up. And also, apparently Capello did try and contact Beckham before he said that. And he apparently got in touch with a member of his team, but he couldn't get hold of him specifically. I just sort of think, people are going over the top. He's the England manager. He's decided. Where do you want it to come from?
But also, David's not playing in this country. He's not really playing for a big club. I mean, I think Milan's well within my rights to say.
Yeah. Milan also says that they're not going to have him back again.
No.
Yeah, just for one last match. One more match.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? You look at Beckham and you think, well, that's probably the end of his England career. Mm. But haven't we said that before?
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Haven't we said that before?
Henry Winter went mad again.
Did he?
He went, yeah, what they should do is they should have, like, a testimonial, England versus Manchester United at Wembley, and all the proceeds going to charity. And it's like, what are you talking about? You're saying this out loud. Yeah. When are they going to play this game? You know? What's happening here? Do you remember Michael Owen? We remember the Michael Owen breakdown, Henry. Do you remember that? Lest we forget. Calm down.
He loved the 90s, didn't
he?
He loved them.
One of his tweets around the time of Owen was just, yeah, just to go through my top three Michael Owen goals on DVD. What? Are you Alan Partridge?
That shouldn't take that long, should it? I would like to see Owen feature a little bit more for Manchester United this season. He probably will, to be fair.
I'm surprised you're not piped up about Zamora coming off the bench for England, because he played quite well.
Well, Zamora did play well for England, yeah, I thought he did. I said to you before the World Cup,
I think. Well, you said after he's got the injury out of the way and he's he'll be in business.
Yeah. Oh, he nearly scored a cracker, didn't he? The chest and well, the shoulder, hand, arm, whatever it was, in volley.
Let's call it a Luis Fabiano.
Well. To bracket him in there with them, then I'll
he'll be happy with that. Yeah. He'll be happier with that than Luis Fabiano, I thought.
But with regards to Capello, suddenly there seems to be this sort of backlash. Arsene Wenger came out to support him. And I like what he said, you know, the sort of managers, he says they have to sort of stick together a bit, which I liked. Jamie Carragher backed him.
Yeah, the thing with Capello is...
Hang on. Jamie Carragher backed him, and he said, I loved him, he could have done anything to me, and I'd have still liked him.
Oh, challenge.
Yeah.
I'd be up for that challenge.
Yeah, Carragher said...
But then you'd probably slag him off in your book.
Carragher... Is there a part two?
don't rule it out.
Well, Carragher said, I'm a bit like, that's his CV, so whatever he does, we can't say that's wrong and that's right, because that's what he does.
No, it's right, though, isn't it?
Jamie Carragher can't read, so...
it was in pictures.
It was a mime artist. But you know that
is Carragher trying to get back in the scene? Scholes are saying he regretted not going to the World
Cup. I'm still really confused as to why Capello's adjusted so badly to international football. And one thing that made it really abundantly clear was at the Community Shield when Ashley Cole, for whatever reason, whatever you choose to believe.
No, he just never saw him with a shunned handshake.
Then Capello sort of smiled to himself in a weird sort of Mr. Bean style manner and just sort of bumbled on to the next person. Back in the day, Capello would have grabbed him by the neck, thrown him down the stairs, stood over him and gone, are you going to shake my hand now or what?
But it's different, isn't it? Because as an international manager, they're not his players.
Yeah, but it's tough. Capello needs to get tough with them. He needs to do exactly what he's supposed to do.
You'll shake my hand, sir.
Hang on a minute. You're saying Capello needs to get tough with them.
I've come over from Henry Winter.
Capello has got tough with them.
Yeah.
You know,
they're just still rubbish. Fair enough. Point taken.
There we go. Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored against Scotland.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Beautiful first goal. I mean, it didn't have a lot to do with him, but he just sort of dispatched it, didn't he? There was a lot. The pass, like Arsenal.
He produced a wonderful pass. Lovely bit of skill.
Did he then turn around to the manager and go, you're welcome?
And I think he just sort of walked off and went home.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It was good to see Zebra back.
Yeah.
It's very good of him to be turning out in a friendly.
He makes Eric Cantona look like the model of humility.
Robbie Keane got his 100th cap for the Republic of Ireland in a 1-0 defeat against Argentina. And
Argentina won, didn't they? 1-0.
They did.
Beautiful
indeed.
Goal from Di Maria. Did you see it?
Yeah.
A lob over Given. Given was annoyed. he was annoyed.
Was that his first goal for Argentina? I think it probably was.
It was indeed. So it was a shame that Robbie Keane, his 100th cap, couldn't provide Ireland with a win or at least a draw. As I've been saying this. Hang on a minute. Where's Luke gone, Pete?
I don't know. Oh, God, we're down Jim's. Jim's gone to Edinburgh Corner.
Luke's disappeared.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, where are you, Luke?
I think you know where I am.
You're in Diego Corner.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Diego Corner's open.
I finally remembered the
is
number.
Is it open for business?
I remembered the number for the combination lock.
Is it 1986?
That's my joke. You bastard.
Forgive me.
What's
going on? We thought it was closed for business. What's happening?
Pete, how long have we got left? We've got emails and profile to get through yet, so maybe I'll save that for another time. I'm back in Diego Corner, and you probably know why, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We're back there because Diego feels like he's had a bit of enough time out of football now. And he wants to come back.
Has Hugo Chavez turned around and gone, look, I've really got to get on with running this country.
Yeah.
You're going to have to leave.
I've had a lovely time.
I can't keep playing keepy
onions. You're stinking
you.
Up the place with your onion breath.
But Weekend at Burnley's 3 finish filming now. You've got to get on with your life. And that guy's not even dead. Anyway. Now, you know when you've made it. You know you've made it. Well, we all know that Diego's made it. He's made it. He's one of the most famous men in the world.
What are you talking about?
You know you've made it when you've got a European representative. He's got an official European representative.
What's he been saying?
His name's Walter Soriano. Yeah. If I was Diego, the first thing I'd be saying is, can you sort that Italian tax thing out for me?
Yeah, that's right.
It's sort of your area.
Mm.
But he's been saying, I think Diego would be very open to the idea of coming to England and managing Aston Villa.
I think.
Let's give the Aston Villa fans time to sort of collect themselves. He's very attracted to English football and the way of your life in your country.
No, he isn't.
And I know he'll be very willing to move there. He loves the English countryside. and your respect for privacy. So we'd be very happy there, especially at a big club for Aston Villa.
Respect for privacy?
And our libel laws are second to none. Yeah.
Meanwhile, he has been offered a new deal.
And he does hate the English.
For a chat show.
Oh.
He's doing a chat show instead.
In Argentina?
I'm not sure if it's taken over Jonathan Ross or not. I'd be for that personally, though.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. This was the chat show. He had a chat show in Argentina. Goyi Kachere. Remember the keeper from the 1990 World Cup? He was involved as well.
Goyi Kachere has been doing TV work ever since he's retired.
Okay.
And I think he was sort of putting sort of a safe pair of hands for Diego.
Right.
A handler.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, look after him.
I mean, if you...
Sort of like Hanson and Lawrence.
If you were Aston Villa manager, they could never play in Europe, specifically Italy.
No, he couldn't. Away games, no. I'm not coming. I'm sending the assistant. Sending my official European representative instead.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's enough of that. I'll be back in a minute.
Good stuff. I've got an email, guys.
Can
you read my email? Did anybody ask for a Daniel Dicchio update? Never mind Diego Corner.
Diego Corner to Daniel Dicchio. It was the only place to go.
Well, this is from a man in Canada called Tim Drodge. Tim Drogenous. Rabafoss Ho
from Canada.
Now, I know that a lot of the MLS goings on are perhaps quaint to you guys and odd to you guys across the pond, but hey, we got to walk before we run. And here in Toronto, Canada, we are definitely running. You also talked about hometown heroes last week, and we have one here in Toronto that you might be aware of, even though he was technically born in London.
Is it Ryan Ricketts?
And I thought you should know about what happened. Daniel Dicchio of Preston North End, QPR, Sampdoria, West Brom and Sunderland Fair moved to Canada in 2007 to become a player for Toronto FC in its inaugural season back in 2007. 4 games into our first year in MLS, we were winless and scoreless. Going into our second home game, the 20,000 fans.
Yeah, they're well supported, Toronto. I think they're one of the best supported ones in the division.
We're becoming agitated and restless. Would their new club ever score a goal? Well, Daniel Dicchio did indeed score the club's first goal.
Get in!
Imagine scoring the club's first goal in 2007.
Pompey's still waiting.
With a big deke as well.
And he did it in a truly Canadian style. Canada, of course, is obsessed with ice hockey, and one of the greatest ever was Mr. Gordie Howe.
Did he score it with a stick?
He was extremely tough and gritty in his play, and he was also a prolific goal scorer. Dicchio scored the first goal midway through the first half and proceeded before half time to get into a fist fight with an opponent and earned a red card for his trouble. This is what we call over here a Gordie Howe hat trick.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
No better way to get a bunch of Canadians on side than earning a Gordie Howe hat trick. And to top off the magic of the goal celebration that day was also seat cushion day. Every one of the 20,000 fans in attendance that day received a round football shaped seat cushion upon entering the ground. When Dicchio scored,
this is great.
When Dicchio scored, 20,000 seat cushions went flying onto the pitch like snowflakes in the
blizzard.
Yes. Danny retired at the end of last season and is now a coach for the club. As well as that, he's also now a Canadian citizen. And to this day, in the 23rd minute of every Toronto FC home game, we sing a song for Danny to commemorate him and that moment when he became our very own hometown hero. Long-time listener, keep up the great work. Tim Drodge, Toronto, Canada.
Oh, Pete, if they like ice hockey over there, maybe they should sign Darren Puckerby.
See this?
Ow.
Yeah? You do that again.
Sorry.
And you and me gonna have words.
Good email, Tim.
Tim,
I've enjoyed that.
Tim Drudgenut Day.
Yeah.
No.
Shall I do a quick email?
No, hang on.
All right.
I just want to say that is magnificent stuff.
Yeah,
Toronto FC. I endorse it all day long.
Yeah, good.
Now you can do your email.
Well, I'll just brief for this one, then we'll go on to the profile, shall we?
Well, why not?
Well, I'm in charge. I've decided that. So, Ramble for
Sport. Yeah, go on.
This is from Pete from Nottingham. I didn't get a hoe back from both of you then. Thank you. He says, Ramblers, having joyously celebrated the recent induction of Stuart Psycho Pearce to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, I wanted to belatedly bring your attention to an event that became a footnote to his great career.
Oh yeah.
As you pointed out, Psycho finished his playing career at Manchester City, specifically in a Division 1 league match against Portsmouth in 2002. Up to this point, he had accrued 99 career goals in club football. His 16 for Wealdstone didn't count. And when City were already 3-1 up, he was awarded the penalty in the 94th minute. At the time, I remember hearing on the radio that Portsmouth keeper Dave Besant, who was aware of this impending milestone and fairly confident that his own actions would have little effect on either team's season, stepped forward and whispered to Pearce something to the effect of, "I'll dive to the left."
He was a good penalty stopper, Besant.
He was. He's getting on a bit by then as well. Presumably surprised, Psycho lined up to his pneumatic left boot and gratefully dispatched the final kick of his career a full 10 yards over the bar, thus finishing on 99 goals. Although I can't remember the exact source of this anecdote, I'd love to hear the Ramblers' choice for eventful swan songs from the football world, good or bad. Thanks very much and keep up the good work. Pete from Nottingham. That's a great email, Pete.
I just like the fact that like he just went, I'm my own man. Smack!
Yeah. No one tells me what to do.
Well, no one puts shit in shop.
Well, my swan song, if I could lead it, would probably be obviously Zinedine Zidane. I mean, that was the best swan song ever.
Yeah. I remember Beasley missed a penalty in his testimonial.
Did he?
And the ref made him take it again.
Did he? Can you remember when Robbie Fowler missed a penalty on purpose and Jason Magatea smashed in the rebound?
I think he missed it on purpose. Well, Seaman saved it.
Well, yeah, but he did. He knew it wasn't a penalty, so he did like a little soft one, didn't he? And then Magatea ran and smashed it in.
True.
I like that a lot.
True. Pete, swan song?
Well, but I'd say...
No, I'm offering you a swan song.
Oh, yeah. Now.
Yeah. Nobody puts...
Stop
that's
this.
That's my last win.
Stop this.
That's my last act.
Go on, a swan song?
Well, I mean, Peter Beasley's...
you said sorry,
I mean,
forgive me. Yeah. I'm going to have to say Matt Letizia at the deal when he took that one into the top corner for Southampton.
Yeah. Well done to him.
Up yours with a rusty one. Chaps, you're never going to believe this.
What?
It's profile time.
Awesome.
I've just...
This profile... This is a story about redemption.
Is it? Is
it? It's Paolo Rossi.
Ooh.
82.
Yes. Correct.
Was he alive in 82?
Yeah.
I was. Barely.
Yeah, I just...
Oh, dear. What a man. Well, let's start off with perhaps the most important fact of them all. He was born on September 23rd, 1955.
At 12 years before the summer of love.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Former striker for the Italian national football team.
And he did look like an Italian.
Well,
he looked like the sort of generic Italian you get in football games sometimes.
Good hair.
Yeah, very good hair. Nice full head of hair, yeah.
So graceful.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Again, swarthy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of swarthy men in the old dwarf.
And God bless him for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a man. What a man. He's just a striker, of course, as I said. But he actually started off life as a winger.
Okay.
He was later converted to centre forward, of course. But he began his playing career joining Juventus's junior side. He was loaned out to Como soon after that. Can you imagine playing for Como? Wonderful scenery.
Yeah.
Right by Lake Como.
Yeah.
You know, we got hammered today, but just look to your left.
That's why we got hammered. What have I told you about that?
Marcus.
Yeah, that's right. Incidentally, if you ever play at the pitch next to Box Hill in Surrey, wonderful view.
You were saying that a friend of yours played at the San Siro once, and he kept looking at the stuff up at the stadium and stuff, and he kept getting caught
up. Jack Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He was playing for Fulham Youth, and he was kind of looking up at the stands going,
this is amazing.
Yeah. And all he heard was, Jack! And he's like, oh crap, he's played in.
I've played fives at the Emirates.
Oh yeah,
I kept my mind on the job.
How many goals did you get?
Zero. It's not about goals, is it?
No one puts Pete.
Well, he got the same as you without even trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, back to Paolo Rossi. Very early on in his career, even as a youngster, he had a lot of knee injuries, a lot of knee problems. But as I say, he was loaned out to Como. And then to then Serie B side Vicenza, and they were the ones who converted him from a winger to centre forward. An immediate impact.
The rest is history.
Oh my goodness. He was a real fox in the box. Get on the end of the cross, tap ins, the lot. Mm. The quintessential sort of
fox in the box.
Number nine. Yeah. Number nine striker. Yeah. So in his first season as playing as a striker, he won the Serie B Golden Boot and help them get promotion into Serie A.
I'm having that.
In the following season, he scored 24 goals and became the first player to have topped the scoring charts in Serie B and Serie A in consecutive seasons.
It's a step up in class.
That's quite something. That's quite something, Peter.
It is.
He, of course, was selected by the Italian national team, Enzo Berzot, and that was in 1978 for the 1978 World Cup.
He got a couple of goals that tournament as well, didn't he?
He did indeed. Yeah, he was
two or three.
He was a young lad. He was 21 at the time. He had a decent finish. Decent tournament. Whereas Italy finished fourth. He scored three goals and a couple of assists, and. You know, what a playing career he had in front of him. You know, top scorer in Serie B and Serie A straight away. Good World Cup behind him, and he was still in his early 20s.
This was when he was at Juve, right?
No, this is Vicenza.
Still at Vicenza.
Oh, okay, jumping forward.
Because he I always think of him as a Juve player, that's why.
Well, no, this is at Vicenza.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
So Vicenza were relegated in 1979, so he went to Perugia on loan. And this is where his career took a terrible turn, quite frankly. He was caught up in the now infamous Totonero betting scandal of 1980, where an illegal syndicate had attempted to fix Serie A and Serie B matches.
How close to all this was he, though? Because there's a lot of controversy about how much he was... He's always said he was nothing to do with it.
He's always said he's innocent, even to this day. Well, Milan and Lazio were relegated because of this. And there was a whole host of players who were caught up in this, but he was the biggest name among them. And it all happened because when he was playing for Vicenza, they drew with a club called Avellino, and quite a small side, and the game ended 2-2. And Rossi and several of his teammates were accused of match-fixing because apparently someone said to him, something about, shall we fix the match? Or it was all very quite simple. And basically Rossi said before the game, oh, should we do 2-2 then?
Yeah.
But... you know, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
That's apparently what he was caught up in. So at the age of 22, Rossi was given a hefty fine. Incidentally, Rossi scored both of those goals in that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would surely
which
be
end?
Some kind of defence. for his team. he said, I got caught up in the whole thing because of an unfortunate sweeping statement that was incorrectly interpreted and I paid a heavy price, is what he said. And he always claimed to be innocent and to be a victim of injustice. And in his book, he said that one of the people that accused him at the time, they admitted later that the allegations against him were invented. So he was hit with a 3-year ban. I mean, very early on.
Very costly.
Yeah. However, while he was still banned, I mean, this is how highly he was rated. Juventus bought him for 500 grand, you know. 500, half a million. And that was in 1981. It was incredible, really. Yeah. But that's how good he was. His suspension was cut down so he could play in the 1982 World Cup. Because he was given 3 years in 1980.
Is that how it works, is it?
Well,
big gamble to pick him.
Yeah. Well, so at the end of April. So it wasn't as if it was... So halfway through the season, so he could get a number of games.
I'm surprised FIFA or UEFA would allow that.
Different body back then.
Yeah.
They weren't so on the ball.
But they were still sort of very... I mean, because it would have been Haviland ahead of FIFA then. They were still similar to what they are now.
True, but by all accounts, though, the ban was harsh on Rossi. I mean,
there was
a lot of...
If that was in South America, three games?
But it would have been an Italian Football Federation ban, not a FIFA ban anyway. So
But they wouldn't, presumably, if a ban's good enough for the FA, the Italian FA, surely it should be honoured in the World Cup as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, the coach, Berzot, he selected Rossi for the 82 World Cup, despite Rossi only playing 3 games for Juventus since his ban. So he'd come back, he's been out of football.
You got 20 goals.
For 2.5 years. And only played 3 games. An incredible gamble. I mean, really, the manager's put his career on the line there with that. Although it's worth mentioning that the World Cup in Spain in 82 was a bit odd that year, with 6 groups of 4 teams provided 12 sides who then went into just kind of like a quarter-final stage, which was 4 groups of 3.
What was the Brazilian team?
Well, we talked about this in the Socrates profile.
Yeah, that's right.
Only a few profiles ago. However, the Italian manager, Berzot, did say, I knew that if Rossi wasn't in Spain, I wouldn't have had an opportunist inside the penalty. box. He said in that area he was really good, really fast, always ready to fool defenders with his feints. So he had a lot of trust in Rossi. I mean, like I say, 2.5 years out of the game and then only 3 games with Juve and he's in the World Cup. It's unbelievable.
It's Walcott-esque.
Well, no, Walcott was playing regular football. So the tournament started poorly for Italy. They were in a group with Peru, Poland and Cameroon, and they only managed to score a couple of goals, I think it was. And they went through because they'd scored more goals than Cameroon. Now, bearing in mind, you know, OK, Italy hadn't won the World Cup since 1938.
Cliche alert. Very slow start at Italy, though, aren't they?
But they had, they'd been in the final in 70, you know, and obviously they're a big footballing nation. So, you know, you can imagine the journalists in Italy at the time going mental at the manager for thinking, well, you've bloody... The man who's trying to lead the line for us, he hasn't played for bloody ages. Come on.
He's just getting warmed up. He's not match fit yet.
So he was 25 at this time, Rossi, of course. He looked a bit off the pace. He didn't score in any of these games. But Berzot stuck by him, stuck by his man.
That's ballsy, isn't it?
It's a huge decision. Well, Rossi said the fact that the manager trusted me was fundamental. Bearing in mind, you know, that Rossi's had so many people backstabbing him and this and that said about the ban and the injustice of it all, allegedly, and so on and so forth.
I would have said that it was fun and mental rather than fundamental.
Once again, Pete Donaldson's on.
Yeah, there he goes.
To have a man trust him was absolutely crucial for him. So, the Italian media are incredibly sceptical before the tournament. They're even more sceptical because Italy have scraped past the first round. And then they go into a group with the favourites, Brazil, who are playing some of the best football we've ever seen, as in the history
in
of the game.
In the history of the game.
And Argentina, who were the holders of the World Cup. Against this Italian side, who couldn't score. And you think, well, you know, what on earth is going to happen here? So, Italy played Argentina first, and they managed to win 2-1, incredibly. I mean, Italy did have a wonderful defence with Gentile and Scurria, I believe that's the...
Scurria, yeah.
Yeah, and Gentile really did a job on Maradona that day.
Yeah.
Quite a famous duel, that
I think, am I right in saying Gentile was never sent off in his career?
I think so,
He was absolutely brutal, though. Yeah. He would have been sent off a lot now.
It's worth YouTubing that, Gentile versus Maradona, whatever it would be, because it really was Gentile was superb that day, and they really snubbed out that Argentinian attack. So they won, but again Rossi didn't score, and so people are still thinking, what on earth is Rossi doing in the side, you know? We've got this unbelievable win, but he's still not done anything. But the manager again still kept faith with him, and they needed to beat Brazil in the last game. Brazil only needed a draw. This side are the favourites, they're playing unbelievable football, and within 5 minutes Rossi got on the sheet. And
What's that? Is that the sound of some floodgates opening?
It was a header, wasn't it?
It was. And suddenly, the Rossi goal machine was underway. Oh, yes. He got the nickname Pablito, which, of course, is, I think, the Spanish, that's a Spanish one of saying, like, it's like a nickname for Paul. That's what they do, the Ito at the end. Yeah. Portuguese is the Inho. And of course, the World Cup was in Spain. That's why.
Well, what is that in the distance? It's the Paolo Rossi goal machine. Get out of the way.
Paolo Rossi scores a hat trick against the World Cup favourites, who only needed a draw, and Italy are suddenly through.
Yeah,
they're through to the semi final against Poland. I mean, that is one of the most outrageous results.
It was the game with Socrates and Zico. Socrates scored.
And Falcao scored a great one as well. And it was Brazil's game.
I know Poland were a good team, much better team than they were. I know there's some great players, but Italy would have been happy with Poland in the semi-final.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, Italy would have just been happy with the semi-final, considering what we just said. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a funny one because we love that Brazil side, and Rossi was effectively the one that put them out. You know, that Brazil side. But, you know,
I get the impression Socrates is still annoyed about that now.
Yeah. Well, the Dean Windass Hall of Fame is a double-edged sword. Luke.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see what happens when they both go in there.
Yeah. Well, Socrates isn't in there. He's got loads on. So they go through to the semi-final against Poland. Two more goals from Rossi in the semi-final. Well, it's on. It sets up the final against Germany. He gets one and he assists one and they win the World Cup. It is incredible scene.
West Germany.
Biding his time.
West Germany. Yeah.
He was,
absolutely incredible. He wins the golden boot.
Yeah.
And the golden ball for best player in the tournament.
Yeah.
And he joined Mario Kempes as the only other man to scoop the Golden Boot, the Golden Ball, and lift the World Cup.
Amazing.
Yeah. That was a tournament two halves.
Has he got a Premier League title though, Marcus?
Well, he never played in a cold, wet night against Bolton. Yeah.
Before the World Cup final, he said, "Should we go for the World Cup final? Yeah. Should we go for the 2-10?
Here's some factoids for you. He had 13 shots in the tournament overall.
Yeah.
7 of those were on target.
Yeah.
6 of those were goals.
Yeah. Question the goalkeeping.
It is remarkable what a turnaround that was. And he also won the Ballon d'Or in the same year.
God.
That's not
a lot of shots, is it?
No.
All over. Well, he's playing that many matches.
Yeah. Exactly.
What was he doing?
The first few games, he wasn't interested. Mm. I mean, one journalist described him in the first few games as a ghost aimlessly wandering over the field, you know. And then suddenly, Golden Ball, Golden Boot, jobs are good, and off he goes into the sunset.
Pop bang lovely.
Exactly. So he becomes a national hero from, you know, going from
zero to hero.
I was avoiding saying that, but that it works.
Oh, so I could say it.
So he went back to Juventus. Marco Tardelli, Scirea, Gentile, Michel Platini.
Yeah.
It was a good side.
Yeah.
They won the Italian Cup in 83 and the Scudetto.
They won the European Cup in 1985.
They did. Yeah. And the year before, the Cup Winners' Cup.
Oh, good.
So,
love that 12.
You know, he became familiar with silverware. and then...
we'll call him a thief as well.
And then he signed for Milan in the summer of 85.
He didn't play an awful lot for them. He didn't score many goals.
I think he might have scored a couple in a Milan derby.
Oh, that's
just
not bad.
Chuck that
that'll
in
do.
There.
That'll do. Chuck it in there. Might be bothered about a derby game, so...
He didn't... He ended his career with a brief spell at Verona, but he retired at the age of 31 due to a number of knee injuries.
Yeah. Well, he had knee injury. He sort of had knee problems all through his career, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. But he soon sort of vanished from the world of football straight after he quit, apparently to concentrate on his passion for deep-sea diving.
Wow, that wouldn't bother your knee, I guess.
No.
You have multiple knee injuries on how many knees he's got, I don't know. But.
Oh, it's a zero-impact pastime peak, so...
But you'll be pleased to know that, you know, once he was producing the goods on the pitch, now he's producing the goods off it.
Yeah.
Wine and olive oil.
Oh, nice.
He has a burgers there.
He has a farmhouse estate in Tuscany.
What stereotype have I not fulfilled yet?
cheating wine and olive oil.
No, come on, this is a positive profile, Pete. I didn't say that.
Yes, he does have a farmhouse estate in Tuscany, Pete. Okay.
Does he have a Vespa?
Right, so we've got Lake Como, match fixing.
Good hair.
Yeah.
20 goals in 48 appearances for Italy, I think it was. 9 World Cup goals, though.
Eh?
Apparently, I saw reading an interview with him, I think it was in 442, and they said that, do you invite your ex-Azzurri teammates to come on the farm and have a glass with you? And he said, yes, all the time. We still get on really well. There's a bond there. That old team spirit, that's the legacy of 1982.
Hey.
Come on in, Paolo Rossi. Paolo, magnificent stuff.
Yeah, great stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you would like to get in touch with us, the podcast email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com. It's all quite simple, really.
Mm. There's a theme. There's a running theme there.
Exactly. Luke, I need you to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Pete, are you going to say goodbye as well?
I'll think about it, maybe. Or maybe I'll say, nobody puts goodbye, everyone.
We're all off to blacklist James Campbell. Cheers. I forgot to say, I think it's Diego Corner's closed now.
Yeah,
I forgot to say that Julio Grondona, the Argentinian, the head of the Argentine FA, apparently he regretted threatening to have Diego Maradona's assistant, Oscar Ruggieri, shot in the legs, then stabbed. He said, oh, please, it was just a figure of speech. You know, like, if you keep making a mess of things, you will get shot in the legs. What hysteria!
Wow. Yes,
stop overreacting, everyone.
God, so I wanted, like, my gran to fall down some stairs. My mum gets really angry about it. Oh, granny.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.